Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to an emergency episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line. This is your hostess, Kat.
And this is your co-host, Carl.
And this is your other co-host, Stephanie.
Yes, and today we're going to talk about the epic 1 minute and something trailer of Star Wars 7, The Force Awakens. So I pulled these two grumpy people out of their turkey stupor and to talk about this trailer, which I'm over the moon. These guys, they're all relaxed. They're like, not a big deal. Eric posted it all over the Sci-Fi Party Line Twitter, and he was like, really? You had a geekgasm? I was like, yeah. And so, you know, he just wasn't there. But these two guys, Stephanie and Carl, we have you here. I want to go first impressions. We're going to do it CNN style to break it down second by second.
Okay.
We actually think that Kat is more exciting than the preview here. I'm not exactly sure how to begin on all of this. Cue the sand dunes. That's the beginning. Kat, I believe you had something to say about our stormtrooper out in the desert.
So, the first scene... So I first encountered this little baby guy on 24. He was a soldier. And so I forgot about him being in Star Wars until he popped up and he looked like he was escaping Dune or something. But he's a sand trooper and he looks like a baby Denzel Washington. And I was just like, oh my God, he is young enough to be my little brother. So I'm not going to like, you know, go full on cat on him. But baby Denzel, hit it.
All right. One thing I thought was a little unusual about the trailer preview is the soccer ball R2. I don't know what's going on with that.
No, we're not there yet. We're still talking about the sand dune stormtrooper with baby Denzel.
I think we pretty much covered that.
No.
No, we have not. Okay, I'm excited for this movie, and I was a little bit weirded out by the crackly elf voice. I mean, at the start of the sand dunes, I thought, uh-oh, are we going to go to Mordor first and then Star Wars?
Yeah, he did it in a world.
You also have to do the tone.
I do like that there's some idea of somebody waking up out of an evil stupor, because baby Denzel looked like he was completely lost, like he just woke up from a coma.
No, it looked like he had got dropped in the sand dune, Stephanie, and he had crashed, and then he awakened to find himself stranded. Yeah,
kind of like Oblivion or something.
I'm going to go with Stephanie's analysis. It's felt almost as if someone had been wakened from a stupor. And I think maybe that's analogous to the fan base that supports Star Wars. It's almost like they're being awakened from a stupor, a 20-year slumber of being frozen in carbonite, and finally, I'm starting to see. I can look.
That's the Carl I'm talking about right there. That's
the light. I mean, you know, I know I've been blinded. I've been blinded by the carbonite, but now I'm starting to see. Maybe it was Lando. I thought I heard him. I'm blinking.
Carl, so, you needed 15 minutes to write all those jokes.
I can't see anything. I can't. My eyes are starting to...
Let's say something else. There's a lot of crap been going on. And so I'm gonna go with the race. I'm sorry for y'all who don't want to hear that on the Sci-Fi Party Line. We don't do that as much. But to see in the epic trailer of the first face to pop up is a black face was just kind of like, what? I didn't expect that. So, and then it was Baby Denzel. And then I was just like, I was done with the trailer after that. I was already passed out fanning myself. So I needed a cigarette. You know?
I'm hoping for a little bit more diversity with this version of the Star Wars series. The original three, we had Lando and all of England, apparently. That was pretty much it. So, yeah, that was surprising. I got to tell you, that was surprising. Now, the second one, there was Jar Jar.
Oh!
I was so happy that Samuel L. was in there. But you had to balance him against Jar Jar, and they kind of like cancel each other out. They cancel each other out at that point.
Okay, so I take offense at you referring to Jar Jar as a person of my...
I'm sorry, but you know, Best, what's his name? Jeremy Best? What's his name? The guy who voiced him?
I don't even know anymore.
Yeah, well, Ahmed Best. Yes, okay. That's it.
Whatever.
And he was a prominent character. So, you know, you gotta
go to the soccer droid.
Oh, now you want to go to soccer art too. Fine. Just skip over my whole lesson.
Yeah, no.
I don't know what's going on with that thing. Even the scale looks strange. I don't know. But it's interesting. I can't wait to see what we do with soccer R2.
Stephanie?
So I don't remember. Is this...
Why aren't you playing it in the background right now, like on loop? Like me?
No. I remember the soccer ball droid, but I don't remember if this is in the future or what. Like, how far in the future is this after the... After episode six.
Because it's episodes... Right. How far from... I don't know.
That's all. Because things looked a little clunky again. You know, one of the things I didn't like about the prequels is that all the ships looked sleeker and newer than... the ships in 4, 5, and 6, right? Or all of the hardware.
Like Star Trek Enterprise?
Like the sleek, bullet-shaped ships that, like, were never, ever in the...
Yeah, I know what you mean. I was just...
4 through 6. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm still on Turkey. Are you kidding me?
The show Enterprise looked kind of...
Short... Carl,
you're not
going to
come in and help me out there with the...
Are you kidding me? Anytime you bring up Enterprise as your defense, I'm silent. I got nothing for you.
What you're talking about.
Nothing for you.
There's a soccer ball droid, and then you threw in this. I'm confused.
Hey, forget it. Forget it.
Carbohydrate poisoning right now. You have to have short bursts of logic for me, or else I will not be able to...
I don't have tryptophan poisoning right now, or whatever you call it. Okay.
So all I'm saying is that I like that they've returned to these junkier looking ships and hardware and you know, scooters or whatever you want to call them. But I just don't know how far in the future this is, because if both the dark and the light are waking up, what does that mean? It looks like there's, from the trailer anyway, it looks like there might be some places that are doing worse than others, and I want to know what that means, because I thought at the end of episode 6 everybody was happy, the Ewoks were dancing, all the people were getting awards and stuff, there were ghosts, like happy party with the ghosts, and like in the new one you had like Yanni music with fireworks in the sky. Right? So then, like, this, I just want to know how far in the future is this? Like, how long did that last? Because it doesn't seem like it lasted very long, you know, this happy peace.
All that from the soccer droid.
And it certainly doesn't look like the Empire lost very much steam, because all in the preview, you also see all these Imperial Trooper guys.
That's the next scene. We're going to move to that. So the next...
Oh, well, okay, that's my good segue. It looks like some places are doing better than others. It looks like the Empire certainly didn't get as ass-kicked as episode 6 would have us believe. And Tatooine just continues to look like Tatooine. Like, dirty, dusty, clunky, 20-year-old cars and floating things going around.
So what about that sleek stormtrooper jump out drop situation. Like, where were they going? What were they doing? Are they going to Tatooine? Were they coming from space? It was kind of dark. They looked like they were ready. What do you think's going on there, Carl?
Oh my God, that guy is Leia and Lando's kid, maybe.
What guy?
Oh, amazing baby Denzel.
Oh, baby Denzel.
Oh my God.
Wait, they do a thing? They didn't hook up.
Hello, what have we here?
Oh my God.
That would be so awesome. I want to see this right now. Now I'm just pulling up as you are. I'm totally.
You guys are ruining my moment.
I mean, excuse me. We can enjoy the preview in our own way here, okay?
There's only one right way, and that cannot, is frame by frame.
You will not steal our joy here. You woke us up from the tryptophan, and now we're going to enjoy this. If we want a baby Lando Denzel, that's what's going to happen.
Baby Lando Denzel.
Because we have approximately, 1 minute and 12 seconds worth of footage to work with. So we're going to scratch it. We're going to write our own script up in here. This all is, right. Oh, yeah.
Fanfic.
Mm-hmm. It's on. Oh,
Denzel Calrissian. Is that what you said? Okay. So we have next is... What, Leia's daughter riding on a speed bike?
I'm telling you, she definitely looks like one of the Amidala kind of crew. I don't know.
What do you think about? She looks so intense. I already like her. Like,
maybe she's going to go out to Lando Calrissian's kid, and then maybe they're going to have a turd affair. Oh, but I really want the other one to happen first. Not first.
Well, she's flying on a giant USB stick, so who knows? Who knows where she's going with that thing?
I kind of thought that was a giant pregnancy test.
Yeah, that'll do. I'll give you that. Okay. Is it one line or two on the other side? We don't know.
Well, we won't know until she meets the guy in the desert.
She was running from him.
What?
No, she looked a little determined. I don't think she's running from anything. I think she was running towards something.
She had like this harumph kind of nature to her when she was starting up the little scooter thing.
Yeah. She might have seen something, but she's on a mission. She's going to say something. She's got to pass on a message.
Well, I thought maybe like she saw a baby Denzel crash and then like she was hanging out with aunt and uncle Owen and then wait, is that right?
Baru.
Whatever. And so like I thought maybe she saw the crash. She's like, I got to get to town to warn blah. And then, you know,
I mean, because we are assuming that this is all going on at the exact same time period. Maybe they're flashbacks. Maybe they're jumping ahead. Maybe they're returning to the time that we know. Who knows?
Hey, but, guess what, You know what you didn't see in that 1 minute and 40 seconds? Terrible dialogue. Yay.
Well, but we didn't really hear much dialogue at all, which...
I know!
I am immediately so...
We didn't hear dialogue in the episode one trailers.
Wait, that's my point exactly. That is my point
exactly. We also didn't see light flares. There was not even a single light flare.
You know what? See. Why?
I don't know why y'all playing. It may not be here, but we've only seen, you know, a couple of seconds.
What is so wrong with lens flare? I think they have artistic merit.
Listen, maybe one or two, but when you go to the bargain bin of lens flares and then that's all you have in the second half of your movie, that's a problem.
You know what? You know what? JJ did a really good... You know, we're not going to start that. We're going to go to the next scene. And that was like with this Nuevo Wedge and Tilly's in an X-Wing. And then they fly across the freaking water. And it just looks so beautiful and epic. I'm doing my hand like the way they were...
I'm glad they finally brought back the X-Wings. I mean, for real?
Right? How are you
gonna do Star Wars... 3 episodes of Star Wars and not have one freaking X-Wing in there. So, I mean, that by itself is a win for me.
I clapped when I saw that. That was amazing.
Yeah. Wow. So what if that's like Wedge's son? Secret revenge. Because he exploded in the Death Star. No? Like Nicholas Antilles. I just made that up.
That was good.
Wedge lived. Didn't Wedge live?
No.
Wedge was the only one who lived.
Wait, no, I thought he died. Somebody needs to do a rewatch. It's been a while. I've been saving it because I watched it too much for like a long time. And so I've been saving it. Okay, so I don't know. The X-Wings over water. Sorry, I'm in a mood.
I've watched it machete style, so I don't even...
Mm-hmm. I did too.
What does that mean?
You watch Star Wars, New Hope, and then... What is it? Star Wars, it's New Hope, then you watch the first three... No, is that right?
You skip Phantom Menace.
You totally skip it? Oh, then I screwed it up then. Because I watched New Hope, Empire, then I went back to watch the three, and then I watched Jedi. That's what I did. So I did not realize you were supposed to.
Today?
No, not today. Just the last time I did a Star Wars watch.
It's time for a rewatch.
It might be, machete style. That's the best way to watch
Star Wars. I don't understand your machete reference.
It's the way to... It attempts to follow the narrative of the story a little bit better than the traditional sequence of Star Wars. So you watch A New Hope first to kind of establish that Luke Skywalker is the ultimate hero of the Star Wars saga. And then you go back and see, I think it's Attack of the Clones, right? To get some backstory on Anakin. And then... backstory on how Darth Vader came into be. And then you go into Empire Strikes Back, right?
Yeah, see, I was a little confused if Empire was included first or you skipped it, or Jedi, but that's the general idea. That's right.
Yeah. And then you finish it out with the Ewoks dancing.
Yeah, that would be Jedi, yes.
Okay, it says the viewing order is episode 4, New Hope, Empire. episode 5, Empire, episode 2, Attack of the Clones, episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, and then finally, episode 6, Return of the Jedi. Okay, you guys, you got it.
So you totally kick off. If I had known, I wouldn't have watched one again. I forgot that it was okay to leave that one out.
But that one has Liam Neeson's.
Okay.
I have to watch the Neesons. I fell in love with Neesons in that film.
Listen,
because like all I saw was Neesons, and I thought that was the best film I'd ever seen because Neesons had me under spell. And then like people was like, "What are you talking about? That was the worst crap ever. Did you see the Jar Jar?" And I was just like, "What? All I saw was Neesons."
Again, the two characters that I like most in that first episode got killed by the end. So that I was just annoyed. I was annoyed right out the gate. So the other one was Darth Maul, if you were wondering.
Oh, to me, it's completely extraneous to the plot. Like there was no need for Phantom Menace at all, except for sell some toys.
It's true. It's true. That's true.
Okay, so let's go with the Knights Templar Sith.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And he apparently has some sort of exhaust problem with his lightsaber there. like blew a muffler or something on the side.
I don't co-sign. I don't co-sign on that.
No. Because clearly, just turning that sucker on is depleting the ozone layer wherever he is. I can
tell
you right
now. Also, hello, like terrible design.
Yeah.
If you grab onto that, you run the risk of cutting off your fingers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What is the point of having that?
Well, I don't know. Christianity is evil? I don't know, because it's
traditional broadswords or whatever, they don't have knives on the end of the handle. So, I mean, what is the point?
To disperse the intensity of the saber beam that's coming off of that. That's all. That's just exhaust. Exhaust. That's all.
I think better not be trying to make up.
They had the double edge with Darth Maul, and so they had to come up with something cooler.
Well, I don't think that's cooler. I like the double edge.
The double edge was definitely still the coolest.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This one is just too like. He did it, and then he had, like, he looked like a Wraith from Harry Potter, and he's stumbling into the forest, and then, like, shoon, and it comes out, you're like, what? And then, shoon, shoon, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
It was a little bit like I was visited by the ghosts of the Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter.
yeah, there was some sort of flaming eye going on there. I could see that. I could
like
see
putting
it.
The fantasy in this sci-fi show. But I'm still excited to see it. I just do not co-sign that design. Yeah.
It's got to be cool for a reason. Okay, here's one thing. I have been watching the new Star Wars Rebels.
What? Cartoon. You didn't even tell me, or did you? And I forget.
Okay. However, so the bad guy has a slightly modified lightsaber, a dual saber in this one also, and it's on this ring. And you look at it, and you're like, why in the world would it be on a ring? But the ring spins the blades of the sabers, the two sabers. So he like holds it in the center. It's like a wheel, and you can spin it on the side. Now, at least it's functional. You know, you see new saber designs and stuff coming out. I saw that. I was like, okay. And he can throw it, and it's got this kind of like crawl boomerang action thing going on too. Okay, see, like 8 people get that. But it's got like this boomerang thing where it spins while he throws it too. So if you're going to modify a lightsaber design, let it have a reason, you know, give me a purpose or some added functionality. So, you know, it justifies the modification. The exhaust ports, I'm not digging so far either. So I'm just pointing that out.
Exhaust ports.
I'm telling you, that's what it looked like. Exhaust ports. Nothing else makes sense.
No, like it looked like it was designed by the Disney committee. And they're like, this would be awesome. Be so great if we could. No, maybe the Chinese Disney committee were.
Uh-oh.
They make it out of lead and...
Oh, that's just wow.
Well, it would explain the emissions issue I was bringing.
Oh, my God. You guys are getting worse. Like, stop. Okay, so next we get the...
What are you talking about? Johnny Bag of Glass. It's perfectly fine.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I want a sword that has two swords. I want a sword that's dangerous to pick up. That's what I want. Yeah.
Jeez. Okay, so, and then after we see the worst designed lightsaber in the history of lightsabers, we get this really nice hero shot of the Millennium Falcon, and with the music comes up, and then right there, I was just like, goosebumps, yeah! And it flew up, and then it was kind of flying from or towards some X-Wings, and it was just beautiful.
Now, again, to have Star Wars movies without the Millennium Falcon. Now, I understand the Millennium Falcon was specifically Han and Lando's vehicle. So, in one way, I can see how maybe you leave it off or whatever because those characters, it was so closely tied to those characters. But come on, again, it was my favorite vehicle, my favorite hero vehicle of the original Star Wars saga. So, to see it back, that was really, really... Although, if you look carefully, it went from the old 1980s Primestar satellite dish to the new DirecTV model. So you see, it's sleeker. It's sleeker model satellite dish on the Millennium Falcon. But other than that, it's really pretty to see it in that resolution and to see it moving. I mean, that thing is moving. What's wrong with you? The whole
thing. I'm having a girlgasm right now.
I mean, the whole thing about Star Wars is kinetics and speed and motion and
super sexy.
When you think about, you know, what we may have seen in some of the other movies, you know, it might not have entirely. I mean, okay, great. The speeder, the kid speeder scene in the first episode was kind of exciting, but it was just by itself and didn't seem to have any context, and there wasn't a lot of emotional impact. We got speed, we got effects, and shoot, just in 4 seconds, the emotional impact of seeing the Falcon back in beautiful shape, that's exciting.
I think I called Carl like 18 times. Get up, Carl. Get up, Star Wars.
I didn't know what was going on. I didn't think of what was going on here. But yeah, it was beautiful to see it flying and flying like that. He's even got little contrails on the side. That, well done. Well done. Well
so
done.
Beautiful.
It is beautiful.
Yeah.
Stephanie, what do you think about the Millennium Falcon?
Oh, I was totally happy to see it. And it makes me wonder if that is Lando's son that we first see. Because who had the Millennium Falcon last? You know, at this point, we had Lando and then the Han and Lando scenario or whatever. I wonder if Lando ended up getting it and then maybe passing it on to his sexy Denzel son. And he flies out. I don't know. I'm excited, though. Now well, I have a whole year to contemplate.
But the sexy Denzel son was in a stormtrooper or sand trooper's
car. Well, so Lando was Han. Was in...
So was Han.
You're right. Oh, my God.
And Lando was in that other, like, orc thing or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Well, so, I thought maybe, you know,
the first time a rebel has worn, you know, the enemy outfit.
Well, he was being a rebel and like, I don't want to do what my daddy did. I'm going to fly straight and fight for the Empire. And so, no? Okay.
No, yeah. Maybe he escaped from an escape pod and landed on the Tatooine planet.
Well, whatever he was doing, I think Son needs some water because he was out of breath.
Maybe that's Amidala's kid or Leia's kid was running towards.
She had water up
in that pregnancy test. <Help you.
laughs> Okay, so it's a flying cooler, is what you're telling me. That's she's driving a cool ice cream man. She's the ice cream man. Got a little cart showing up for people. So
I wanted to say though that Star Wars for me hasn't really been about speed, or at least. The Star Wars that I fell in love with as a kid, all of their tech was cool, but it was kind of clunky because, you know, they're on the losing side of the battle or whatever. They're in this rebellion fighting against this well-oiled machine. So all of their tech is kind of not as sleek as the bad guy stuff. And, it's a little worse for wear. And these people are... praying that their ships stay together, you know, without breaking down once again, like the FTL going down and so on and so forth. And so that, to me, Star Wars as a kid was about these heroes and their antics and their kind of like dumb luck or their Hail Mary passes and their bravery, but, you know, this kind of young... bravery where they don't really have a whole, you know, it's not like measured, calculated risk. It's like go big or go home. You know, I kind of liked that, you know, these kind of really these adventure seekers and these brave heroes of the rebellion. They're scrappy. They're resourceful. They come back. And then their tech is kind of the same way. I mean, R2-D2 is, and C-3PO, they're kind of these battered droids. They're older. They're loyal to Leia and then to Luke, and then the Millennium Falcon's kind of on its last legs, you know, in the earlier Star Wars movies. And Han and Chewie, they're keeping it together. And to me, that was what was charming about Star Wars. And then when the prequels came out, that's what turned me off about all of these weird, like, sleek CGI ships.
Well, but I like that. I like the what is it? The mirror ship that was all silver.
I understand that they're probably talking about this age, this golden age in technology, and then there's been like kind of a downgrade over time as somebody else came into power, you know, and then they get all the good, sleek, shiny stuff. And so I like that they kind of kept in the same look and feel with this episode 7. With their junkier looking ships, you know, and then of course seeing the X-wings, that made my heart, you know, jump because because I love that they look worse for wear. They look great, you know. So that's Star Wars for me. I'm a little bit afraid that J.J. Abrams is gonna make this into a shiny Star Trek, but then I thought about it. No, I was talking to you earlier and I thought about it and I was like, well, I like what J.J. Abrams did to Star Trek, and I think what he did to Star Trek was make it more like Star Wars. You know, these plucky leader types that are young and reckless but loyal and you know, kind of land on their feet somehow.
I don't think you're going to have to worry about Abrams making Star Wars too Star Trek-like. I don't think that's going to be a problem at all. Most people argue that he made Star Trek too Star Wars-like. He has always been on the side of your scrappy garage band heroes. So this has always been, most people would agree, this is more his element than Star Wars anyhow.
Oh, yeah,
so
for sure.
Raggedy ships and, you know, ragtag bands. I think Abrams can pull that off. I think he's going to be able to pull that off. And I agree with you about original Star Wars, that the character part, that's what made it so much fun, was the scrappy underdogs. And actually, it's kind of why... I liked the first Star Wars, you know, A New Hope, so much, and not so much Jedi, because in New Hope, you really see that this group, you're not sure they're going to make it to the end of the movie. I mean, see, there's the trash compactor, their ships are falling apart, they're following a crazy old dude, yeah, they're all hanging together, fighting as a group. You know, it's just nothing about it looked like these guys are going to win medals at the end of the movie, right? Okay, but then we get to Empire, and one of the things that, of course, you know, we know the dark, you know, the dark story of the Empire, but one of the things about that movie that also sort of depressed me is that it broke up the crew. You know, you got Luke in the swamp for three quarters of the episode. Mm. Hans frozen in a block of ice someplace. You know, the
really
gang. You know, the old dude's dead. So, you know, Obi-Wan's popping up every once in a while. So all of that funny, nutty dynamic that I love so much about seeing them all together totally ripped away from us in Empire. And we just barely get to see a little of it at the beginning of Jedi, when finally, you know, the crew's back together. And then guess what? Luke's off again, and Han's not even on the Falcon anymore. So that all of that fun, like you said, I mean, it's the underdogs, it's the guy bonding, they're fighting over the girl, all of that stuff, we really see it only in A New Hope. And then we just sort of get wisps of it in all of the rest of the episodes. So, you know, here's to hoping we get some scrappy characters.
Is it an old hope or a new hope?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Well, I mean, I think what made Empire Strikes Back such a good movie for me is that eventually the great heroes of our time, they have these defining moments that make them who they are meant to be. And I think that's what Empire Strikes Back was for our group, the ones that lived.
Yeah, it's the trial. It's the painful trial. You're right. Yeah.
Right. And so that's what endeared that movie to me, and it endeared the characters to me even more, because they're not infallible. And actually, that's kind of why I liked, I know that I'm in the minority here, but I really liked the second Star Trek Into Darkness. I liked that movie for kind of the same reason.
What did you say, Carl?
She's definitely in the minority there.
I liked it.
What?
Yeah. What? The second one? Yeah. I mean, it's Star Trek, and it was nothing wrong with that film, and I don't see why people were bitching about it.
Oh, my God.
Well, we'll have to have a discussion about it, but it was perfectly fine. I think the problems people have with it is echo chamber problems, where you're just rattling off crap you heard on the internet, and it's nothing wrong with that film.
Oh, well, God. It certainly wasn't the original content, because
no pun intended.
I went back and saw Wrath of Khan, and I was like, this is also an okay movie, but it is not the Rosetta Stone of awesome.
Right? So. I am partial to saying it is the Rosetta Stone.
I am as well. And I think when you watch it with your eyes now and look back on it, it might be a little easier to say that. But when it came out and watching them in the order that you did, man, not only were the effects top notch, but the bringing back Ricardo Montalban from the original series. I mean, we had just gotten used to seeing the whole crew back together in the new ships, in the new movies, and then to drag out Ricardo, and he was bad too. That I'm sorry. I mean, that
Carl
was
there for those things, so he knows.
Yeah.
Yes,
you know what? I'm gonna bow out of that one because I saw it on VHS several years after it came out. And I was more familiar with Fantasy Island at that point than I was with
Stephanie. That's so, something.
I'm telling you.
I'm not going to attack. I'm simply saying that, you know, you have to watch movies in context, and that makes a big difference. I mean,
then watch Into Darkness in
context. Oh, it's got context. I didn't watch it on raggedy VHS. I saw it in the theater with everybody else, and we all went, "What the?" as we left, but that's all right.
What? That's because you were around haters or something, because that's crazy.
Feel free to send all of your email correspondence to FancyFinBot. That's who's, you could just share your views with.
Yeah, so. People agree with me and Steph.
Send your toast to Carl.
He's at RoboMinister.
Yeah.
On Twitter.
I'll be going to, what's wrong with them? That's not
I just think J.J. Abrams, I think he's going to do a great job. I think he did a good job on Star Trek. I didn't mind the Apple Store Enterprise bridge or anything like that. But, I was just so happy to see it on screen that I didn't care about, like Jar Jar, I just didn't notice the lens flares. I have selective sight upon things. And,
wait, you didn't notice Jar Jar?
I did not notice Jar Jar. I really did not. I was so entranced with Liam Neeson. I'm telling you guys, Liam Neeson is my shit. So he is everything to me. So when I saw him in Phantom Menace, that was just like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever. And then it wasn't until I started listening to other people that I let me watch it again. Oh, that's pretty bad. How did I miss that? I don't know how I missed it.
That is like extreme love and devotion to a single man.
I am a devoted person, so that's
okay.
That's what I am. I'm very loyal. To Liam Neeson. So I don't really have any concerns about J.J. Abrams, and people who talk crap about him, I don't get it. I mean, I think he's done some really great things. Not everything is gold, you know, but I think it's going to be fine. And I think this one is going to be worth getting a costume together and standing in line at midnight. This is going to be it right there. That's what's going to happen. December 2015.
Yeah, no, I'm very excited now. And I like most of the stuff Abrams does is incredible. So, and this one is definitely in his wheelhouse. So I'm excited. I'm excited.
So the thing about J.J. Abrams for me is that, yeah, not everything he's going to do is going to be perfect. But like Carl said, this is what he's good at. And I don't know, I think that his heart's in the right place. He's definitely a fanboy. All of his previous things that I've seen have been his heart's in the right place. And that makes it enjoyable for me because you know that it's lovingly done. And I think that people give him a hard time for, like, I've heard a couple of people put him on the same level as, like, M. Night Shyamalan. And I'm like,
what?
How can that be?
Even anything that should come into anyone's mouth.
Mm-mm. I know, right?
No.
I know. So, J.J. Abrams, you know, he may be flashy, he may like his special effects in a particular way, and doesn't really waver from that, but, you know, his heart's in the right place. And he knows, the one thing about the two new Star Treks that I will say is that the dialogue and the storyline so much more cohesive than what probably would have come out of somebody else's director's chair or whatever. Like, I think that he did a really good job with Star Trek. I think he'll do a really good job with Star Wars.
You know, it just a random thought. Can you imagine what it's going to be like the first time George Lucas sits down to watch this movie?
I don't care.
No. I'm not trying to be mean or anything. I just want you to think about this. This guy has devoted a big chunk of his whole life to creating this universe. He knows all of the details, all the ins and outs, all the moments of it. He's never been surprised by Star Wars in his entire life. For him to finally sit down and watch a Star Wars movie, and he doesn't know what's going to happen in it. Can you imagine what that must be like for him?
Well, I mean, how is it any different than, like, designers stepping down from, like, their line and having other designers come in and they sit at the runway and watch stuff come down that they had no hand in making? It's kind of like that. So I think, I don't know, maybe he'll like it. I think he'll definitely support it. And I don't think he did a horrible job with Star Wars, but it's ours now. You know, it's public property now, and I'm glad that he gave people another chance to try their hand at it and kind of renew it. Because, I mean, I just think that he was too close to it, and mistakes were made. But I think that he will go down in history as somebody who did something great for all of us and influenced a heavy part of our childhoods and our adult lives, so...
I agree. I wasn't cracking. I was simply just
Carl,
saying,
I don't know. There's a little crack there, son.
Listen, there really wasn't. I'm a tremendous fan of George Lucas. I really appreciate everything that he has done. I'm just simply saying that the wonder that we experience when we see Star Wars, that we have had, you know, most of the time going into the theater, this is the first time he'll ever get that. And I think that's an exciting thing.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of artists don't get to see that kind of thing happen. Yep. They don't get to see something handed off to a fan, a lifelong fan of their work, and then see something new come out of it. So yep. I think that, I mean, obviously he may have his quips or whatever, but, or his qualms rather, but I think that at least he has that, wow, I'm living to see this happen to my work.
He was supposed to be creating modern folklore, really, when he first set out to create Star Wars. He read all of that stuff about, you know, Joseph Campbell and, you know, hero epic stories and all of that. He was basically trying to create a modern fairy tale when he created Star Wars. And so the fact that he was actually successful, he created, I mean, not just a universe, but characters that were in line with, you know, everything that we think of and with, you know, fairy tales and all that kind of stuff. And now it is going to live on beyond him. That's pretty exciting. That's real contribution.
Yeah. It's a humankind, man, especially with Liam Neeson. Okay. Oh, Lord,
help us. Here we go.
Oh, guys. So I really just wanted to, you know, talk about that, get all of my excitement out on podcast, because we're going to have a countdown towards this. It's going to be so exciting. I think this might be the next sci-fi party line thing that we try to do together. I don't know. Or maybe we'll like correspond from each coast, or I don't know what's going to happen, but I know.
Well, and I hope that Disney promotes this better than they promoted
John Carter.
Yeah. Something tells me they're going to spend a little on promoting this Star Wars movie. I'm just going to go out on a limb.
They have to promote it at all.
Yeah, but I think Disney might just, you know, throw a couple extra chips in on this one. So,
yeah, I'm not worried about this movie coming out by Disney. I'm not at all, because John Carter was an awesome movie. John Carter was let down by the marketing department of John Carter.
Yep. Not quite. Yep. Reach to the quack.
We all like John Carter. That was.
But
good.
A lot of people are like, "Oh, Star Wars was acquired by Disney." Meh. No, it's like almost like it was foretold. It's like George Lucas wanted this to happen almost from day one. As soon as he wrote in, you know, little beeping droids and Ewoks and Jar Jar Binks, he wanted to be picked up by Disney. So there you go.
I'm not going to
answer that. You kidding me? He had a big furry walking carpet. Like, how is that not going to be picked up by Disney eventually? One day?
A walking carpet is what
Yes.
Disney. Okay. I mean, you know.
I mean, come on. There were so many furry aliens in Star Wars before Disney came along. How many more furry aliens are there going to be? So many. It's Disney.
It wasn't until the Ewoks rolled around that I really felt
it. Those Ewoks.
They were dancing. They were playing conga, stormtrooper helmets.
Okay, that was so awesome, and that's so Disney.
That's. I think that was the first one I saw too.
Mm.
Yeah.
I know it's the first one that I wanted to live. I wanted to be in Endor. I saw that terrible Return to Endor movie or whatever that was, I wanted to be that tiny girl in their pink outfit with her curls. That was in the leg warmers. That is who I wanted to be. I wanted to walk around with living teddy bears and be that girl.
I just thought she had a sweet brass sort of wee fit. I thought that was the coolest thing when I saw it back then, but yeah, took too long. And now I like screens. So, hey.
Okay. We might do a podcast rewatch or something and do some reviews or something like that. I don't know what we're going to do, but we're going to do something. And I'm so glad you guys joined me for this Star Warsian epic squeetastic review of the 88-second trailer.
It's actually really just a minute long. The rest is intro music and black. So
I knew they just like showed something and then it'd be black for like 5 seconds. I was like, wow, that is a really long black piece. Like I need to analyze this.
This out of work voice actor from Mirkwood comes over. He's like, in a world.
Stephanie. Oh, that's our show, guys. We love your feedback. Give us a call at 773-336-2686. Go to our website. Leave us a comment at scifipartyline.com. Carl, I know you ain't ready. I know you're not ready.
Of course I'm ready. I'm ready.
What? You don't have it memorized by now, Carl?
No, but you can find us on the Facebook at Sci-Fi Party Line. You can reach Kat at Fancy Fembot or me at Robo Minister or at Steph by Stereo. Steph by Stereo is where we reach Stephanie. So, there you go. That's us.
Why did you leave Carl up to that? Rude.
You want to take the show out for Stephanie?
No, because that's the part I knew. I don't know. You
people. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed our show, and we will see you at the party next time.
That's it.
Bye.
Well done, Steph. She got the next time. Bye.
Bye now.
Bye. Next time. I knew it had a next time.
Whatever. You can find us on the Facebook.
Have you felt it?